Good evening. It has been a wonderful day, hasn't it? It's been a wonderful day. We thank the Lord for, had a wonderful Sunday school this morning, had a wonderful church. I just thank the Lord for his goodness. If you would open your Bibles to 2 Kings 19, chapter 19, we'll be looking in verses 15 through 19, and then we'll I told Travis, I said, it's only been four, going on 5 years or so, so I'm starting to get it. He's got them down, so we'll be going. won't have to make him chase after him this time. I was thinking, actually, before Dan sang, I know I say it a lot, but, you know, I have reasons for it, and you can take it or leave it, but whatever. But I really appreciate our good pastor. I do. I was thinking of the message this morning. I don't say that to lift any one person up. I've been around. I've listened to others, and I at different times, even when I'm by myself or going down the road, I thank God for this place. I do. I don't think maybe some realize what you really do have as far as in our good pastor, Dan, not speaking of myself, but in him. I've got a lot of growing, a lot of learning to do, but I certainly love and listening to him. But I'm thankful for all that the Lord has done, not just bringing us here. I was thinking earlier, Kate and I was talking the other day, and, you know, I run in, I believe, to Roger and Mabel's, I can't remember nobody's name ever, but their grandson's wife, Courtney, Katie told me it was, and she stepped in and hollered at me, and I spoke to her for a few moments, and we laughed, and she went down, and I thought, God, I love my life. I just love my life. I love the fact that I love meeting people. I love talking to people. I love my family. I love my church family. I'm grateful for everything God has done. God has been so good to us, and I thank him for it. Going back off the heels of what we had spoke about the other night, talking about praying, and we had mentioned to you and in talking about, you know, that God is not a genie in a bottle. I think sometimes prayer is one of those things that many will say, you know, much to pray about in our lives. I know that. But a lot of times the sister was saying it may appear that God is silent, or we've been praying about something and seems like nothing's happening. And I so appreciate Brother Shannon what he said a moment ago, which is true of our Sunday school lesson as well, that God is always moving. God is always doing something. God is always working things out for our good, whether we realize it or we don't. God is always on the move. God doesn't ever sit back and have to try to figure things out or wonder about something or hope that something works out. And I'm going to throw something else out there that might put a bird in your saddle, as my dad would say, but it's this. And God doesn't need our help to help him figure it out either. He doesn't need me to tell him what to do. He doesn't need me to tell him how to answer it or when to answer it. God doesn't need any of that. And you know, sometimes I think when God doesn't respond the way that we think or in a time that we think he should, then we think we need to pray harder, pray longer, pray this, pray that. Well, listen, just be faithful in prayer. Trust God, and God will do what he said he'd do in his timing, and he'll do that. But one of the things that are in common among the three that we mentioned last week, and we'll talk about three more this week, probably all in the same week, a few days ago and then now. One thing in common is this, that they, and I put this down for myself with Jabez and also with David and with Jonah, we find out that they all acknowledged whom they were praying to, and that was God. They're praying not just to anybody. I think sometimes that, you know, it would do myself good. I can't speak on your behalf, but I can mine. And that is that I would maybe come to a halt sometimes and stop and just acknowledge the fact that when I'm talking unto God, I'm talking to the one and only true God, the God of all eternity. When we reference him as who he is, we can't help but stop and think about his power and his ability and his love and who he is and how that God can. There's nothing beyond his capability. There's nothing beyond. When I will just at least stop and acknowledge that very fact that I'm talking to God, immediately my mind goes directly to those things. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He loves me more than I could ever realize. And when I start my prayer off in thinking in that light and in that manner, it certainly affects my praying I was thinking about Jabez. We learned from Jabez that we should ask the Lord to bless our lives, shouldn't we? We should ask the Lord. Good, I'm glad you agree with that. Now, we should ask the Lord to bless our life. Ask Him to use us. Ask Him for the sole purpose that we might be a blessing to those around us. And asking Him to enlarge our territory, as Brother Dan had talked about, and speaking to those that are unsaved, and no matter where that's at. We'd like to do that here, but it might be at the funeral home. It might be at the grocery store. It might be among our family meetings that we gather together, whether it's birthdays or Christmas or so on and so forth, the time that we meet together. It might be in those times, but however, that he might enlarge our territory, that we might share the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever we go, for the sole purpose that they might know who He is, and that it might affect their lives, and that they might be saved and born again, that we might be able to be a good witness for Him, and that we would ask Him to help keep us away from evil, that it doesn't trip us up, that we don't get caught in any snares or trips or falls, but that we walk faithfully with our God. We should pray, and I thought about this. We pray to the Lord, and it's one of the things I learned from Jabez's prayer, that we pray for the Lord for strength to carry out His will. So one of the things we pray about and should pray about often is that we pray that God gives us the strength to acknowledge His will and carry it out, whatever it is. Here's another thing. Look at Jonah. Jonah's another good example sometimes of even ourselves. And Jonah decided, and we know this, that, well, the will of God was optional, and we know better than that. And Jonah found out for himself. And so when we're like Jonah and we get ourselves in a mess, you know what we find out? We find out, as was mentioned this morning, at the very, very rock bottom is this. Salvation and deliverance comes from the Lord. That's where it comes from. So whether we get ourselves and find ourselves in trouble, and whether we got ourselves there or we didn't, regardless, we know this: we pray to the Lord for deliverance when we have sinned. We know that, and thankfully, praise God, He hears us. Here's the next thing that we learn from David's prayer, and that is this: that no matter how many are gathered against us, no matter how many people, no matter the odds that stand against us, and look at Gideon, 450-1. You remember that story, don't you? He was going up against them, and as the ratio was, 450-1. But praise God, you know what? He had something they didn't have. He had the Lord on his side. You know what we think about David when he went before Goliath? Goliath had himself, he had his strength, he had all these things and all of his armor, and yet he had the one carrying a shield in front of him. But all David said, "You come to me with spear and a sword, but I've come to you in the name of the Lord." You see, the Lord makes the difference in our lives. And here's the thing that it is when you and I pray unto Him and we acknowledge the fact that who He is, we are understanding that He has a will for our lives. We desire His will for our lives in our praying. We understand when we make a mistake, we call unto Him and praise God. You know what we do? We pray unto Him for comfort in the midst of our enemies. In the midst of enemies all around us. You may not think that you have any, but as Brother Joseph mentioned this morning, if you love the Lord, I promise you, you've got an enemy out there somewhere. You've got some folks that don't like you, whether you don't like that or not. I know I don't like it. But however, the simple fact is true. If you stand for the truth, they're not going to like you. That's just the way that it is. But praise God, you know what we find out? We can go unto Him. He is our strength. He is our comfort. And as David would say, praise God, You are my shield all the way around me, and therefore I can lay down and rest at ease because I know You're always watching over me. So we pray unto the Lord for comfort. So let's look in 2 Kings here for just a moment, and let's look at what Hezekiah has to say. Hezekiah has found himself in a very difficult situation here in 2 Kings chapter 19. You'll find out verses 15 through 19, and you'll see this in his prayer. Look what he's talking about and what he says. Hezekiah prays unto the Lord, and he said, "O Lord God of Israel," again following the same manner in which the others did, acknowledging who he is praying unto, and he says, "which dwelleth," and I love this part, "which dwelleth between the cherubims, thou art God." He acknowledges his position of what? Authority, his position of power, his position of who that he is, realizing he is God. There's nowhere else to turn. That's another thought that comes to mind when we think about God. There is no, where else is there to turn? Where else is there to go? To whom else can we go that has all power, all knowledge, all ability to take care of anything that you and I face? Where else can you go? Where else could I go? I don't know, but however, I know this, there's nowhere else I want to go. There's nowhere else to seek. There's nowhere else to look for, because I know he is all we need. He says here, he says this, "Even thou alone of all kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. What is he doing? He's acknowledging again his power by as he looks around him. He sees all of these things. Let me pause for just a moment and say this. One of the things that I enjoy and one of the things I love to do in praying, when we pray, is this, is to acknowledge the fact of what I know God has done and what he's already done in my life, and notice all the things that he has done all around me. You know what? God has handled many situations and God has taken care of many things, and by allowing my mind to roll upon those things, you know what it does? Oh, it brings, it helps me with confidence and assurance as I come before him that I know he's listening and I know he can do it again. I know he can do it again. I know the power that he has. I know the ability that he has. Verse 16 says this, Lord, bow down thine ear, listen to this, and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, if I say that right, I'm probably not, but which has sent him to reproach the living God. Here we find out is the enemy is coming in and he's wanting to oppress and wanting to take over the children of Israel here. And you know what we find out? Hezekiah saying, Lord, listen, we'll say it like this. And there's nothing wrong with this at all. Matter of fact, it's good at times that we would do this. I think Paul would teach us this as we look at not only Philippians but in other places. And that we would realize that, you know what, when we come before God and we bow before him, there are times that I say, Lord, listen, I really need you, God. You know what? God already knows that I need him. I understand that. But it's the simple fact that we're speaking sincerely from our heart. And you know what? How often do you have a child that you could just tell in their voice that, you know what? You know what you hear mothers say all the time, that there's a cry that they make that's a different kind of cry. There's a cry when they're really hurt. There's a cry when they're just whining and they want what they want. And there's a cry that, hey, you know what? I need to get up and I need to move and do something now. Something's wrong. You know what? Same way as we come unto the Lord. Well, he already knows. But I'm going to tell you something. Just as a child calls out for a parent when they're really in need, so as the parent moves and quickly hastens to the child, I believe our Heavenly Father is the same way. That doesn't mean that he's going to answer your problem or fix your problem right now, or he's going to deal with this very moment. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this. There's been times, I know what I'm talking about, that I fell on my face and I've said, oh God, I need you and I need you now. That, you know what, the overwhelming peace just floods my heart. And I know that all will be okay, that he'll take care of it. It doesn't mean that it took place right then, that he fixed the problem then or next week or even a few months or years down the road. But God, let me know that he heard me and that he was there. And he was going to take care of things the way that they needed to be taken care of, however he seemed fit. So here he's crying out unto the Lord, and he says this. He begins to describe the problem. He says, of a truth, Lord, the king of Assyria hath destroyed the nations and their lands. He says, they've cast their gods into the fire. The Assyrians, they're on a rage. They're taking over everywhere they go. And Lord, they're headed here now. He says, for they were no gods. He's talking about the ones that they overcome. And they took over those places. And you know what? They threw their gods in the fire. He says, yeah, they did that. But their gods were no gods at all. He says, but the work of men's hands of wood and stone, therefore they destroyed them. I know how they overcame them, God. I know how they won those battles. Well, they were fighting against mere men. And when it comes right down for bone to bone, flesh to flesh, muscle to muscle, God, we're in no comparison to them. They would overtake us too. But here's what he says. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms, look at this, of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Lord, I'm not trusting in wood, and I'm not trusting in the man-made things, and I'm not even trusting in myself. There's an enemy knocking on our door. He's coming down here, and he wants to take care of it, and he wants to abolish us and get rid of us. I'm asking God for you to do what you said you'd do to protect us, and in the process of protecting us, that I want this one thing to take place, that all the world may know that you're the one and only true God. You know what? When you and I come unto the Lord in our praying, I said this last time and I'm going to say it again, and I hope that it makes sense. It does in my mind, and I hope you get it. If you don't, I'm sorry. But anyway, and that is this, that the center of our prayer, the heart desire of our prayer is this. It is seasoned with, it is centered upon that God will be blessed of our lives, that He will be glorified in everything. Whatever it is, whatever direction the thing that we're praying about goes, the ultimate thing is, God, I want you to be glorified. Katie and I was talking in even about our own lives and about our son and about some other things, and I told her, I said, you know, some things are passing my mind and concerns that I have that may happen or this may happen. And I said, and you know what? Just an overwhelming peace that God says, you just let me handle it. Let me deal with it. And you know what I say? I say this. I say, God, and whatever takes place, as long as you're glorified, that's all that really matters. I know you know what you're doing. I know that you have the right plan and you'll do it in the right timing. I know that. And how do I know that? How can Todd, you be so confident of that? Because in all these years that I've walked with God, He has proven it time and time again. He's given me no reason to doubt. He's given me no reason to think that He wouldn't do anything other than that which is right and perfect, and that, you know what, He would receive glory of it. He's given me no reason to think anything else. I know that God will do what He said He would do. We find out that Hezekiah acknowledges his position of the one in whom he prays and he trusts. And here's what we learn from Hezekiah. That when our back is against the wall, we need to be very specific with God. Don't beat around the bush. There's been times you've heard me say this before, and I meant it. And I said, God, I don't understand, and God, I don't get it. But Lord, I'm trusting in you anyway. There's times that we just need to be right down truthful. I heard Brother Chuck Swindoll say one time, you know what, won't you just tell God how you feel, because He already knows anyway. Be specific with God and be right down to the point. And we find out here that letting God know also the importance of how we desire Him to hear us, and close, and also with the acknowledgement that we desire Him to be lifted up come what may, whatever happens. So we learned this through Hezekiah. We pray to the Lord when our back is against the wall. We pray when things are going good, and we pray when things are upside down. We pray when things are in our favor, we pray when things aren't. We pray when we feel like we've got the world by the tail, and we pray when we feel like the world's got us by the tail. Regardless, we're always praying. Why? Because we know who we're praying to, and we know that He has the power to take care of all these things. Not only that, but let's move on to the next one, which is in 1 Kings 3, 7 through 9, and it is this. Listen closely to this, and I love this prayer of Solomon. He says this, "And now, O Lord my God, Thou hast made Thy servant king instead of David my father." And I love this part. "And I am but a little child, and I know not how to go out or to come in." Lord, you've put me in a position here of authority. And he says, the truth of the matter is this, I'm just a child. I really, we'll say it in our terms, I really ain't got a clue what I'm doing. And look what he says next. "And Thy servant is in the midst of Thy people." He acknowledges who he's praying to, acknowledges his position, his place, and that is that he ain't nothing in comparison to God. He also understands this is your people, which Thou hast chosen. They belong to you, a great people. And he goes on and says this, "that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude." There's all these people that, God, you have put me in a position of authority over. And he says this, I love this last part, "give therefore Thy servant an understanding heart to do what? To judge Thy people." Did you get it? To judge Thy people. Why is that? Because in his position and in his place, there's going to be a lot of things that he's going to have to deal with. A lot of folks are going to come. You remember the story with the two ladies that come, with the child that passed away and the one that didn't? You remember that? All the wisdom that God gave him. He says that I might discern between good and bad. And he said, "For who is able to judge Thy people? Who is able to judge this Thy so great a people?" Solomon here in his praying is acknowledging this. He's saying, God, I acknowledge the fact that I am where I am because you have placed me here. And I also know this, I can't do it unless, God, you give me wisdom. Unless, Lord, you put your hand upon me and you help me. Because I don't have the capability to discern when someone is coming to me and they're telling me a bold-faced lie and they're bad. Or someone that comes to me and is telling me all the truth and they are good. God, I can't discern that within myself. There's going to be decisions that need to be made. And God, I want to lead your people in the right way. I want to do the right thing. And therefore, God, to do that, I need your wisdom. I can't do it on my own. You know what I thought about Solomon for a few moments, and this is what I thought of, and it's this. This is one of my favorite prayers, and I love this because in this, we see a time, at least a time here in Solomon's life, that he acknowledges his weakness and his inability to succeed without the hand of God. He says, I can't do it without you, God. There's no way. So when we pray to the Lord for wisdom, you know what we're doing? And rearing our children and accomplishing our everyday task and fulfilling our roles as husbands and wives within the church and anything we do, we pray to the Lord for wisdom in these things. Whether it's our role as a husband, our role as a wife, and our place as minister, we ask God for wisdom. We ask him for direction in our place and where we work. Whatever we do, you know what we do? We learn from Solomon, ask God for wisdom. James even tells us that when we ask God for wisdom, you know what he'll do? He'll give it to us. He'll give it to us, and you know what? He doesn't hold it back from anyone that really desires the wisdom of God. Listen to this in 2 Samuel. We'll find out a prayer here of David, and he says this, 2 Samuel 2:1. It came to pass after this, I just wanted to read, this is the first part of it, but David says, it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And I like this. And the Lord said unto him, go up. And David said, whither shall I go up? And he said, unto Hebron. I wish when I knelt down to pray sometimes it always was that easy. Lord, do you want me to go up? Yep, go up. Where do I need to go? Just go over here. All right. I wish it was like that all the time, but it's not. Those are few and far between. But I know this. I know this, and as I was looking over this prayer and thinking about things, the Lord spoke to my heart, and it is this. We pray to the Lord for instructions and guidance. And that's what David is doing. He's asking the Lord for instructions, and he's asking the Lord for guidance. You know what? We come to the Lord for so many things. We have a lot of things that we deal with. Brother John mentioned a couple of times, and I agree with him. Life isn't easy. The walk of Christianity is not always easy. We like to say just because we come to know Christ as our personal Savior, then we've got a free ride over all the troubles of life, and that's just not the truth. What we do, God, is this. We've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have wisdom at near us, or that we can just cry out unto the Lord and he'll give us wisdom. We can ask for real guidance, and we can ask for real strength, and we can ask for comfort, and we can ask that, you know what, when it seems like there's no way out, he'll provide for us a way out. He will help us with all these things. We have someone that is greater, has more strength than anyone could ever imagine and could ever master up or muster up. You know what? He has all strength, all power, all ability. And therefore, through that, you and I, you know what we do have? We don't have a free ride over all the problems of life, but praise God, we've got not only a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, but we've got peace within our heart that says, no matter how rough the waves get, I know the master of the wind. No matter how difficult things go, I know that our God, as brother talked about this morning, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know all is well with my God. I love him tonight, don't you? Let's all stand. If you would, sister, would come. Get ready to play a verse of song.